Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
After the 1 o'clock hour, the Denver Nuggets absolutely worked the Portland Trail Blazers. 140, not even in overtime, 140 points in four periods to 108 to Portland. There was really no doubt in this one. Denver ran the table, so much so that the Joker didn't have to play in the fourth period. Chris Dempsey on to join us from Altitude TV. And Chris, stat-wise, it doesn't look as pretty for the Joker, but I don't think any Nuggets fans care. They were just hoping none of these epic comebacks or anything like that to knock the Nuggets off last night.
Yeah, that was the first things first, is that if you get a big lead, let's just keep that big lead.
Right.
And so they were not only able to do that, but they were able to stretch that out to just a huge degree by the end. And so I think that was, it was a good start. It's a good first step, because the Portland Trail Blazers were not in any way equipped to be able to win that game last night. And so then you made them look like that. And I think that's always the way that should work. When a team rolls in as depleted and as, they're just not on your level, then you got to make them look like it. And the Nuggets were able to do that. And so that's good. And so as this home stand continues on, you get the Lakers and Jazz back to back. We're just going to see, if they can keep up that good habit, because they're going to need to against a couple of teams that are obviously very formidable. The Jazz, obviously, in the top three in the Western Conference, and have already come here and won. So yeah, it was just good to see the Nuggets execute the entire game long, and then get the starters off of their feet. And you can watch the game from the fourth quarter, because you took care of business in the first three.
Well, and it was nice to see, everybody score, too. And literally everybody that played got a bucket of some sort. Bones Highland with 17 points. He has been, to me, really fun and interesting to watch. He's a rookie, so we don't expect, consistent greatness. But I know he and Malone have had some really pretty serious conversations these last couple of nights. Chris, can you talk to us about that? What's that relationship like at this point?
It's a good one. It's just, I think in regards to Bones, you're talking about, you just want your young players to stay in the most humble, the most hardworking headspace possible. And if you'll recall, they didn't play him in a game earlier this season, and some of those things were an issue. And so, I think for Bones, it's about, and for Michael Malone, it's about making sure that he keeps Bones in that headspace, because you see what happens when Bones is in the right frame of mind and he's working hard and everything, and it's about team the entire time. So, I think those chats will be periodic. I think they probably have to be. And the other thing is this: Bones has had a heck of a time with COVID testing and having to fly into games on the day of the game, and having to try to perform when you're basically just exhausted from everything that's been happening from the morning until the game time. And so that's been difficult for him in the last few weeks. At various points in the last few weeks as well. But I think just in terms of the coach-player relationship, it's a good one, but you got to make sure that your player is doing the right things as close to all the time as you can get them. And so that's where I think those conversations are coming from.
We're talking to Chris Dempsey of Altitude TV, and it was other than that, everybody was getting a little piece of the action. I mean, Facu Campazzo, Chris. There are games where you kind of scratch your head and you're like, "Huh, all right, this is kind of not his night." And then there's nights like last night when he is doing things that they're just mind blowing. There was one where he gets the steal, he goes through some guy's legs, he hits Bones Highland for an open three, he misses it. But still, there were so many of those highlight reel moments for Campazzo. When he plays like that, I'm serious, he's one of the more entertaining players to watch in the NBA.
Yeah, he's starting to pile up a few of these types of games here. He's starting to pop them in on a fairly regular basis. Yeah, I'm just looking back at some of this, and so it had been a while since the 22-point game that he had in Houston, too. So I mean, I thought that that was the best game he had played pretty much as a Nugget, you know, in his a year and a half as a Nuggets player. You know, when his scoring is, you know, when he's hitting 7 out of 10 shots and 3 of those are 3-point, I mean, there's nothing he can't do on a basketball court. I mean, you know, that's going to open up his playmaking even more. We see the 12 assists there for him last night. And, you know, I just think he's – and then defensively, it's the defense that has been – you know, he's even taken that to another level. I mean, if you – I think in January, just if you just take January alone – I mean, look at the steal numbers in January. 4-3-2. He's got a 0. Then he's got a 3-1. Oh, I'm sorry. He's got a 5, a 1, and a 4 on steals.
Wow.
And steals, he hit 4 steals last night. And he's getting into this space where, boy, I think he's learning some of the players, what their tendencies are. You know, when you get through this league, you get through it a couple times. You see a team, you see a player, you understand how they operate. And now, you know, he's just quick with his hands. He's really starting to get the steal that, you know, the player thinks that they've gotten right by him, and then he kind of digs it out kind of backhand style and then gets that steal and then gets up the court. I think the play that you just referenced was one of those type of steals where I believe it was Ellerbe thought he was by him, kind of digs that steal out backhand style. Now he's off, you know, headed back down the court. But, you know, he just has always been, from the day that he got to Denver, really active and hardworking on the defensive end. And I think what we're starting to see is that being combined with some knowledge of, A, how the Nuggets want to play defensively, but B, knowledge of the league. And it's starting to just result in these games where the steals numbers are very high and his effectiveness is being increased to another level more often than it was last season. And it's really making him pretty indispensable in terms of he has to play each and every night because this is the kind of stuff that he can bring you, and it's winning type of plays.
Yeah, no question about it. And entertaining, too. Speaking of entertaining, obviously, Nikola Jokic, I mean, every time he's on the floor, to me, it's just must-see television. Now, seeing quotes and tweets and everything, it was a mixed bag from the national media, Chris. I mean, you're seeing Van Gundy. I mean, he's pretty much going off saying great things about Joker. He's his MVP. And then you have Barkley at halftime saying Joker hasn't played even close to what he looked like last year, which I think is just absolutely nuts. It does seem like, though, the national media tide, perhaps, is turning a little bit, starting to, you know, barely give Joker the credit. I know Coach Malone's like, hey, he's the most disrespected MVP ever. And I still agree with that. But it does seem like the national media is finally starting to come over to the Joker side of things.
Because you can't ignore the numbers.
Right.
no matter what Charles Barkley has to say, you know, 25 and a half. He's doing this and actually playing just a few minutes fewer than he did last year. He averaged 34 minutes per game last year. Is 32 this year. 25 points, 56.6, which is exactly the same field goal percentage as he had last year. 3-point percentage is about 2.2% off of last year. His rebounds are up by 4.
Wow.
I mean, you know, it just. And then as a defensive player, we all see what he is, you know, how effective he is on that level. His plus-minus is better than last year, and he won the MVP last year. And so when you look at what he's doing pretty much across the board, it's either equal to or better than what happened last year. And, you know, the Nuggets, when they get on national TV like this and boat race the team, you continue to put performances like that on the court when the entire nation is watching, and yeah, the tide will turn because it can't be ignored. You know, if it's just a random Wednesday night in we're in January, so it's a random Wednesday night in January that's not on national television, and the Nuggets do the same thing to the Portland Trailblazers, but nobody was there to see it. You know, nationally was there to see it. You could just look at the score and go, well, but Portland's terrible anyway, so they should have, you know, that they should have done that. And then you would just dismiss that entire box score, that score line, and whatever happened in that game, and you would just move on. But if you have to be a captive audience and watch what goes on and see just exactly how effective this player is, Nikola Jokic, now your eyes are open to that fact. And then you have to go back and look at the numbers and go, oh, whoa, whoa, whoa. you know, he's ranking very high in all these categories among the league leaders. The Nuggets are now 2 games over .500 and hanging in there in that top 5-6 spot in the Western Conference. And he's doing it on a team that has sustained so many personnel losses for the season that you cannot ignore that for the entire season. I was just cruising through NBA.com, and I see where they have Jokic number 2 on their MVP ladder. And so keep getting there. And the Nuggets, and the more that the Nuggets can win games, he'll rise up pretty much everybody's charts because he has to, because it will not – you cannot ignore – I just think that right now it's easy to go, but the Nuggets aren't winning. And even if you know that the situation, what the situation is, you just go, yeah, but you know what? They're not winning. But when that ceases to become an issue, now you can, what else can you say? You would now have to acknowledge the fact that there's a team that is missing its second best player, its third best player, its one of its best reserve players, and then look at this guy carrying a team to a really good record and go, okay, well, he has to be in the, at least in the MVP conversation, if not the entire MVP again.
Every time the Nuggets play the Blazers and Nurkic is out there, my mind always goes back to it, Chris. It always goes back to Nurkic was supposed to be the guy. Joker was this kind of wild card. Who knows what he's going to be? We drafted him, and there was a Taco Bell commercial going on. And then there's this, okay, we can experiment. Let's try to have our cake and eat it, too. Let's start both guys and see what happens. And then that obviously didn't work out. And then Joker, you saw it. It started the teeter-totter effect. Joker started to rise. His stock was raising with Denver, and Nurk was getting frustrated. That whole thing, I mean, that was a very interesting time for Tim Connelly and company, trying to figure out, you know, who was going to be their big man. And boy, did they absolutely nail it with Nikola Jokic. I still go back to that and think, man, there was a time where there was kind of this debate between, wow, is it going to be Nurkic or Nikola Jokic?
Yeah, because, you know, to that point, to that time, when Jokic arrived, Nurkic was already here.
Yeah.
And his impact, you know, his impact, especially on the defensive end, was really, really immense. I mean, the Nuggets were so much better defensively when Nurk was on the court. And then he started to show a little bit of promise offensively as well. I think what the Nuggets really wanted to, their perfect world was to have Nurk play the center and Jokic play the four. And what happened was that Jokic just never really could, he just was never really comfortable at the four. And then Nurk was kind of soaking up those big man touches on the block at the elbow. He's a very aggressive and kind of a headstrong player in that respect. And, you know, he wants the ball. And Jokic, as we all have come to see time and time again, is the kind of dude who will just pass you the ball. Like, if you say you want it, he's not going to say, I want it too, and now you have two players butting heads. He's just going to go, okay, cool, you take the ball. And so what, you know, the Nuggets had to decide, you know, A, they knew that the two couldn't play together on the court at the same time. So then the question you have to ask yourself is, what kind of style of basketball do you want to play? What kind of team do you want to be? And so that's obviously was what led them to Nikola Jokic. I think they probably just saw a higher ceiling in his play anyway, even as well. You know, even if they thought very highly of Nurkic and what he might turn out to be, you know, their internal discussions were, well, okay, we think Jokic can be better. I don't think that they thought Jokic would be an MVP, but they thought that of those two players, Jokic would have it would benefit them, the team, better and for longer for Jokic to be a main cog more than it would if Nurkic was the main cog. And obviously that was the right decision. There's just no doubt about that. And Nurk has gone to Portland, and he has, quite honestly, had a really nice few years with the Portland Trailblazers. I mean, you know, it's he hasn't put big numbers up, and that's obviously hard to do when you have Damian Lillard on the court,
right,
soaking up all the shots for the most part. But he has been an effective player for them. He's been a good defender for them. It'll be interesting to see what happens with his contract situation. As a matter of fact, I think it expires after this year, and see where he ends up and if he is back in Portland. But certainly for the Nuggets, they clearly made the right decision. They play a brand of basketball that's just it's fun to watch, and it begins with the ability to run offense through your center, and not just scoring offense, but movement, real movement, and playmaking through your center as well.
Chris Dempsey joining us from Altitude TV. Chris, I got a texter in here wanting to know about the Boogie Cousins situations. What can we expect there, and will that be Is that going to be the impact that, you know, obviously that name certainly says there's going to be a big impact there, but what does that look like to you?
You know, it's a complicated question, to be honest with you, because you know, a 10-day contract, if both sides are gung-ho about that, then that would have been done.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, so I'm not super sure what the hang-up might be. You know, that last talk, when we last were, you know, when the news was kind of real thick around the situation, you know, it was a situation where both sides were feeling each other out, talking to each other, seeing what might be best. And if we're just still in that situation, if we're still in that situation through the balance of the weekend, I might be surprised that it ever got done. And for the Nuggets, we just watched them put 140 points on the board. And so the question, you know, there's so many questions. So if you sign him to a 10-day contract, what kind of impact could he have in 10 days?
Right.
And, you know, how much playing time would he have? He doesn't know the system. He knows the coach, but doesn't know his teammates. And, you know, I think it has to be said, this is not the same Boogie Cousins as 4 or 5 years ago. It is not. You know, I think we have a picture in our mind of a player who was pretty well dominating every single night. And he is such a talented player, but he doesn't exist in that space anymore. He just doesn't. And so I know a great many of us haven't seen him, you know, fans out there. He's still an effective player, but, you know, in this system, is he effective for this system? He is certainly a player that would need the basketball to be effective. The Nuggets don't really run it that way here. You know, the player who gets the ball all the time is Nikola Jokic and pretty much nobody else, you know, so until Jamal Murray comes back, and then that player would be Jamal Murray. So I think it's a little more complex than, whoa, this player was great 5 years ago. He's going to be great on a 10-day contract. Yeah, it's just hard to be effective. It's hard for a player to come in and just change the face of a program on a 10-day contract, A. And B, would he? How much of the needle would he move for a team that is right now, what are the Nuggets right now? They are sixth.
Yeah.
Sixth in the Western Conference. So you're talking about sixth in the Western Conference, a half game behind Dallas, and nobody's catching any of those teams in the top four. Nobody's catching those teams. You know, Utah, Memphis, Golden State, and Phoenix will all finish in the top four. So, I mean, it's one of the most interesting issues to me, and it's one of the most interesting situations, just because it's very rare to see a 10-day contract take this long to get signed, and unless there's just a little bit of, well, we don't really know on one side or the other, or for both sides, and so we'll see what happens through this weekend. But like I said, if we get to Monday, or the Martin Luther King Day is Monday, so if we get to Tuesday and there's nothing been done, I would probably say we'd be skewing toward nothing being done.
Wow. Yeah, interesting. And you're right, fans, we do tend to hear those names, right? We get excited, even though it's been, hey, that's been like 4 years since he was like the Boogie Cousins that we remember. Chris, as you mentioned, some big ones coming up. A big opportunity for the Nuggets to finally put some distance between that 500 mark. Lakers at home, Utah at home, Clippers at home, Memphis at home, Detroit at home. Obviously, still some tough matchups. The Lakers kind of never know what you're going to get. The Jazz obviously doing their thing. So still tough matchups, but at least you get to see the Nuggets with some home cooking here for the next few nights.
Yeah, and that's a tough slate of games. You know, I mean, it's even though there's some bad record teams there, and the Lakers are one of them, you know, they're still bringing LeBron James to the arena. You know, and Russell Westbrook, even though he is in one of the worst shooting slumps of his, quite honestly, his career right now, he can break out of that at any time. And if those two guys get going, you know that you're in for a long night. The Utah Jazz have already come here and won. The LA Clippers just rallied from a 25-point deficit and beat you in LA. The Memphis Grizzlies have won 11 straight basketball games. And then you get Detroit. Whew, you know, that's like the whew at the end of the tunnel there, the Detroit Pistons, because they are truly a bad basketball team. But You know, this is a homestand, but it is a hard homestand. And so how many of them can you get? Because you really do want to get traction, and you really would like to the chances that even if you have a great homestand, you're not going to just completely separate yourself out from the Dallas Mavericks or the Lakers or the Clippers, but you would like to start having some records against these teams where now it's like, all right, tiebreakers will start to become, as the season goes forward, a big deal. Do you have games under your belt? Have you won some of these season series? And so, have you won games at home? Because you just have to do that. I mean, the Nuggets, they're 10-7 at home. That's okay, but not fantastic at home. And so you want to be better at home because the road looms yet again. But like you said, I mean, this is a tough slate of games against tough batch of teams. But, the Nuggets, one thing that they have proven that they can do, I mean, is get out to good starts, get out to big leads. I mean, they have a bunch of double-digit leads under their belt this season. So for the Nuggets, it's just about, if you can get out to those kinds of leads, can you maintain them? Can you maintain the lead? Look, every team is going to make a run. This is the NBA. This is not college. College, you get out to a 20-point lead late in the first half, you might very well just keep the 20-point lead for the entire second half. It doesn't work that way in the NBA. In the NBA, if you get out to a 20-point lead, you can very well bet that that's going to be a 7-point lead, maybe a quarter later, because these teams are too good to be held down that way. But can you not lose that entire lead and just see your way through? I think the Nuggets will be okay, but this will be a test.
Yeah, no question about it, my man. Chris, always appreciate your insight, my friend. And, let's see how they fare in this homestand. See if we can get a few games over that 500 mark. Chris, we'll catch up with you next week, okay?
All right, Brady, man. See you.
Chris Dempsey, Altitude TV, 44 minutes after the hour. Angel, we need to get out of here and get the latest on the local sports flash.